This morning we looked at the first nine verses of Genesis 39. Tonight we're going to look at the latter portion of the text. And last week we looked at the middle. So we're going to get it all taken care of. But Genesis 39, we're going to begin in verse 19 and read down through the end of the chapter there. And tonight we're looking at faithfulness no matter what. And, you know, a lot of times our faithfulness is only as lasting as our circumstances. And that's not good. You know, it saddens me when Christians are walking with God and things are going good and they're faithful and, you know, they're praising the Lord and things are just wonderful. And then all of a sudden something happens in their circumstances and they get kind of crossways with the Lord and they never get that fixed. And you know, faithfulness ought not be about circumstances. We ought to just be steady. Amen. And Joseph was that. He was all that. He was faithful when things were good, and he was getting the coat of many colors, and he was the favored son of his father, and he was faithful when he was thrown in the pit. He was faithful when he was sold into slavery. He was faithful when he was Potiphar's slave. He was faithful when he was thrown in prison. He was just faithful. No matter what, he was faithful. And you know, I can't control a lot of things in life. Trust me, if I could, things would be a lot different. I'm not saying they'd be a lot better. I'm just saying they'd be a lot different. But I can't control me. I can't control what happens to me. But I can control how I respond to what happens to me. Amen. And, you know, we've been together long enough to know that we've all had good days and bad days, and we've had ups and we've had downs. But I'm thankful for each one that has just been remained faithful. You know, there's some people, when you go to church, you wonder if they're going to be there because they're not always there. But there are other people, when you go to church, you know they're going to be there. And if they're not there, you know there's something wrong. You need to follow up on them. You know, Mrs. Charlton wasn't here last Sunday, I think it was. And I called on her and checked on her. And she says, "Well, Pastor, I just had one of those days where I woke up and I said, I don't think I'm going anywhere today." She just said I was out of gas. And I says, "Well, I'm glad you rested up, and I'm glad you're back." But you know, there's folks that just been steady all along. Martin's been steady since they got here, and Gallagher's were steady before I got here, and they're still steady. And Bickles and the Volleys and the Flippos, and we've had some other folks join us in being steady. And I'm thankful for that. It's just a blessing to have faithful people that are just steady. And that's the way Joseph was. He's just steady. Things good, he's steady. Things bad, he's steady. And that's what we ought to strive for, is just to be faithful. Amen. No matter what, just be faithful. And Joseph is a great example of that. So let's read the text and then let's dive in and see what the Lord has for us tonight. "And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph." Aren't you thankful for that contrasting conjunction? "But the Lord was with Joseph." You know, there's a lot of scriptures in the Bible that contrasting conjunction "but" changes everything. I mean, it changes everything. This, for Joseph, the fact that the Lord was with him changed everything. He wasn't just in prison. He was in prison with the Lord. And that reality of the presence of the Lord is what helped him get through that. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. You know, it doesn't matter where you are, when the Lord is with you, you can find mercy.
Amen.
And gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. You know, God can work in the hearts of the just and the unjust. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and turneth it whichsoever he will, right? That's in the Bible, right?
Amen.
You know, all the kings are not righteous, amen?
Right.
There's a lot of times God used unrighteous men in the scripture to accomplish his will.
Amen.
And here he's bringing Joseph into favor with the prison keeper, because he's working on behalf of Joseph, because Joseph is faithful to him. It says, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. Does that sound familiar? Wasn't when he was in Potiphar's house, he committed everything into Joseph's hand? Doesn't that sound familiar? Notice this next statement that sounds familiar too. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand. Does that not sound familiar? That's exactly what Potiphar did. Potiphar handed everything over to Joseph. He did not know what he had except for what he ate. That's how trusting he was of Joseph. And here we see the prison keeper doing the exact same thing. Now, that doesn't mean Potiphar and the prison keeper were in cahoots and they were the same kind of guy. I guarantee you, they were not the same kind of people. What is the common denominator in this equation is Joseph and his character and his integrity and his God working on his behalf. That's the common denominator. And you know what? If you have the God of the Bible as your God, you can have that same circumstance.
Amen.
Just have character, have integrity, let God work. Don't force it, let God put it together. Because when God puts it together, ain't nobody stopping it. Amen?
Amen.
When God's the doer of it, there's no undoing of it. When we're the doing of it, it can be undone.
Yep.
See, this is exactly what happened in Potiphar's household. He saw the hand of God upon him. He saw that what he did was good. He saw that his work was of a high quality. He saw his integrity. He saw his character. He saw that he was trustworthy. He turned everything over to him to where he did not pay attention to anything. And Greg's looking over there and saying, man, that's a cushy gig right there. To be the boss and not have to worry about anything. That's just, it doesn't work for everybody, does it? You're one of them working bosses, right? Yeah. But this is what happened with Joseph. The common denominator was Joseph and his God. And look at there. Look at the reason, because. That speaks to reason. There's a semicolon and then the word because. That is giving the explanation as to why the previous phrase was true. Because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. You want to get a job done well? Have the Lord's blessing on it.
Amen.
You want things to go well for you in business? Have the Lord's blessing on it. You know, it's no surprise that I'm a big fan of Chick-fil-A. I think every town ought to have one. Chick-fil-A and a good Baptist church. Every town ought to have one. Amen. But Truett Cathy, when he started his first restaurant, he made a commitment to be closed on Sunday. And even in that first, and the first restaurant was not Chick-fil-A. He had just a hometown, you know, mom and pop type deal. Everything was fresh. Everything was scratch, and that's where he developed his chicken sandwich in that restaurant. But even in that restaurant, he made a commitment not to be open on Sunday. And he's he's had all kinds of opposition to that. And when he started franchising, that's one of the standards that they didn't change. I'm glad since he's gone to heaven, his sons haven't changed that. I'm thankful for that. But, you know, they were early on, before I ever came here, they were in both of the malls in Portland. At least I was told that. And they had all kinds of pressure on them because they wouldn't open up. And they ended up not staying in those malls because of all that pressure. And lo and behold, they got two of them in the Portland area, one right across from Clackamas Town Center, and the other one near Hillsboro. And every time I go to any one of those places, they are jam-packed. And, you know, Chick-fil-A has not hurt for not being open on Sunday. It's just a matter of conviction and being faithful to the Lord and letting the Lord work. Letting the Lord take care of what you can't take care of. You do what you can do and let the Lord take care of the rest. So let's look at the challenges that give a lot of people excuses to not be faithful. But how Joseph stayed faithful no matter what. First of all, he was lied about. There's a lot of people they're lied about. Maybe another Christian lies about them. Preachers aren't beyond lying. I've heard stories about preachers and I'm like, I can't believe that guy's a preacher. But somebody lies about you and you get all kind of cockeyed about, you know, I am living for the Lord and this person's lying about me. How's the Lord not taking care of that? A lot of people use that as an excuse to fight back or to lie back or to just give up on God because God's not taking care of the problem. Joseph was lied about, but he stayed faithful. Amen. Even though he was lied about, he stayed faithful. Amen. Potiphar's wife lied to the other servants about him. Earlier in the text, she tells the servants of the house, she screams out and the servants come running and she tells the servants this lie about Joseph. People often lie about us when we do not cave in to their pressures. That's exactly what she did. He did not cave into her pressures and she lied about him. Young people at school, people are going to try to peer pressure you into stuff. And when you don't cave into their pressure, they're going to react back. Don't cave into that reaction either. Stay faithful. See, people often lie about us when they do not get their way with us. I've heard stories of young ladies and some young fellas try something with them and that young lady shuts it down right quick and then he starts lying about her. That's basically what happened to Joseph, isn't it? But did that stop him from being faithful? No. Did that stop him from trusting the Lord? No. Did that cause him to give in to the peer pressure? No. See, people often lie about you when you don't cave into their pressure, when they don't get their way with you. People often lie about us when they don't understand us. And I guarantee you, if you're going to live godly, people aren't going to understand that. You know, going to church twice on Sunday, what's that all about? A lot of the people just do it once and a whole bunch more don't do it at all. They don't understand that. Giving your money to the church, that makes no sense at all. Why? That's hard-earned money. Why are you going to give that to that preacher? First of all, you don't give it to the preacher, amen?
Right.
Give it to the Lord and His work.
Very good.
But people lie about things they don't understand. I don't know this woman personally, and we're only given a few verses about her. I think that's significant. We're only given a few verses about her and a whole bunch about Joseph. I think he's got the winner on that one right there. But I just assume this woman is used to getting what she wants. Amen? And when you say no to someone who's used to getting what they want, they usually don't like that because they're not used to hearing that. And the sad thing is, it happens in church just like it happens everywhere else. I've heard stories of pastors and some person in the church is used to getting their way, and they strong personality and maybe founding member, maybe a big giver or whatever, and they just expect a yes all the time, and new pastor comes in and he says no. They don't like that. They make it their mission to get rid of that guy because they're not getting their way. That's pathetic. It's just pathetic. But a lot of people lie about you when they don't understand you, when they don't get their way with you, or when you don't cave into their pressure. Guess what? Let them lie. Let them lie. You know, I made a commitment a long time ago. I'm not going to fix everything that's said about me incorrectly. I do say every once in a while, if you're going to quote me, please quote me accurately. You would be amazed at the things I've heard I've said. And I was like, where was I when I said that? Because number one, that doesn't sound like me. And number two, I don't remember saying that. But it's amazing things I've been told I've said. But you know, one of the things I decided a long time ago was people can say what they want, and I'm not going to let it bother me, and I'm not going to go try fixing it with everybody they talk to either. I'll let the Lord deal with that. I just got to deal with me. Amen? Don't make it your mission to fix every problem. Let the Lord deal with that. You just deal with you. That's what Joseph did. You don't see Joseph whining. You don't see Joseph trying to plead his cause. You don't see Joseph doing all this stuff. You don't see Joseph lashing back at her. You don't see Joseph lying about her. You don't see Joseph, you know, responding that way. You don't see Joseph doing any of that. What do you see Joseph doing? Just taking it. Letting the Lord deal with it. And I kind of think the Lord dealt pretty well with it, because at the end of the story, Joseph is number two in command and Potiphar is still just lowly old Potiphar. He's looking like a bigwig here, but compared to second in command, that's not too impressive where Potiphar is. In fact, Potiphar was under Joseph's authority. How's that for poetic justice? So Potiphar's wife lied to her husband. Not only did she lie to his co-workers, she lied to her husband. And the amazing thing is, he believed her. Maybe he was deceived by her too. Maybe he hadn't noticed the kind of person she was. But he believed her lies. He allowed himself to be deceived. We need to be careful who we believe. We need to be careful the kind of person we believe. We ought to be able to believe our spouse. We ought to be able to. And as a spouse, we need to make sure we are being trustworthy to our spouse. We need to be believable to our spouse. But he allowed himself to ignore the truth. I mean, just looking at the story, all of this good that he saw in Joseph, he ignored all of that evidence for her lie. We need to make sure that we are not so easily swayed from truth. And Satan is so subtle to deceive us with a falsehood. Worked on Eve, didn't it? He told her part of what God said, not all of what God said. Satan loves half-truths. You know what a half-truth is? A whole lie.
Yep. Right.
A half-truth is a whole lie. And Satan will help you with that in just as long as you'll listen to him. Potiphar believed her lies. She blamed Joseph for what she was trying to do. Talk about turning things around. She was the one that was forward with Joseph, not Joseph being forward with her. She blamed Potiphar for bringing Joseph into her house. Does this sound a little familiar about blaming people? Doesn't that sound like Adam and Eve back in Genesis 3? Adam says, "It's the wife you gave me, Lord." Eve says, "It's the serpent you made, Lord." They're both blaming God, right? Neither one of them are taking responsibility. And that's exactly what we have going on here. She blames Joseph. She blames Potiphar. She falsely accuses Joseph for what she had done. She was the one doing these things. Blaming others instead of taking responsibilities is evidence of unrepentance. You know, when I confront somebody with something that I know for a fact, not hearsay, for a fact, one of the things I'm listening for is what their next word is. Is it an excuse or is it confession? Because that tells me a lot about their heart. Parents, pay attention to that with your children. When you catch them in sin, what's their next response? That tells you a ton about their heart. See, when we don't take responsibility for actions, that is a clear evidence of unrepentance. When we want to blame somebody else, we want to make excuses, we want to try to weasel out of it, it's very evident one thing. We're not right with God. We're not serious about being right with God, and we're not repentant of the sin. We may be upset about getting caught, but we are not repentant of what we did. You show me somebody who's broken about their sin. You show me somebody that takes ownership for their sin. You show me somebody that takes responsibility for sin. I show you a repentant sinner right there. And that's true for all of us, and that's how we all need to be. When you don't take responsibility for your action, you are not being repentant. And that's even true with the Lord. When Nathan the prophet pointed his finger at David and says, "You are the man," what did he do? He said, "You're right. I've done wrong." Just last week, last Sunday morning, when we looked at Judah, and Tamar sent those things that she took from him, she says, "The person that gave me these, he's the one that made me pregnant." And Judah said, "She's more righteous than I." That's repentance. We all sin. We all mess up. There's not a single perfect person here. Some of you may be more perfect than others, but there's not a single perfect person here. The question is not, do you sin? The question is, what do you do when you sin? When you mess up, fess up and fix it up.
Amen.
That's the only right response. See, even when others are angry with us, we need to be faithful. And there are people angry with Joseph unjustly. They were not justified in their anger. And you know, there is legitimate anger and illegitimate anger. Legitimate anger is anger that is justifiable in the fact that it is against wrong. It's against sin. When I see shows, we were watching Woodlawn this afternoon, and I kept saying over and over, my kids probably get tired of me hearing me say this, but I constantly say when I watch shows like that, that was a very dark part of our history, and I wish it was different. Segregation was a terrible part of our history. But it is what it is. But I don't even know where I was going with that. Oh well, I'll move on. What's that?
Just anger.
Just anger. Thank you very much. Yeah, that getting angry about that is legitimate. It's wrong. Racism is wrong.
Yep.
You are not better than anybody else because you're a different color.
Amen.
That's just wrong, period. Doesn't matter what the other color is. Doesn't matter if it's red or brown or black or yellow or whatever. Doesn't matter what the other color is. If you think you're better than somebody else because of their color, you're wrong. It's sin. It's racism. It's wicked. It's pride. It's rooted in pride. So there's just anger and there's unjust anger. And when you get angry, you better figure out which one it is. Because if it's not justifiable, you're the one in sin for getting angry without cause. And if you let that anger control you, it's going to mess you up. But when you're angry for a just cause, there's a problem that needs to get fixed. That's why God gave us the emotion of anger. It was not to lose control and say all kinds of mean things and yell and scream, you know, like a crazy person, or go out and hurt somebody. That's not why God gave us anger. God gave us anger to fix problems. The greatest example of this is the organization MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. And it's founded by a woman that her child was killed by a drunk driver. And the drunk driver got off because the laws were too weak. And so she made it her mission to change the laws. And in most states, they've tightened them up a lot. And I'm glad they did. Now, other people have had their children killed by somebody doing something they shouldn't have done, and they just got a gun and went and killed that person. Same anger. But the one that killed somebody because of that anger did something wrong. This lady changed some laws. She did something right with it. And what anger, God gives us anger is to motivate us to do right to solve problems.
Amen.
Not to lose control and go into sin. And there's certain things that I've said, you know, if that happened, I would have a hard time not getting a gun and going shooting somebody. So I hope they never happen. But the bottom line is we need to control our anger.
Right.
And if it's justifiable, we need to fix the problem that's causing the anger. See, Potiphar's wife was angry with Joseph unjustly. Did she have anything to be angry about? Justly? No, not at all. She was the one that had the sin in mind. She was the one that was she was the one that set up the whole thing. Remember, he was the manager of the estate. He came into the house and nobody was there. I mean, he had to be thinking, where are the workers? Well, the master's wife told him to get out because she had this plan. See, he didn't do anything wrong. She did everything wrong and she was mad at him. That's unjust anger right there. She was angry because she was refused. She was denied what she wanted. You know what? Your kids will get angry with you when you tell them no to certain things they want.
Yeah.
Too bad.
Amen.
God did not call you to be their friend. He called you to be their parent. And I've told my kids, I'll say it again, it's a good line. You might want to use it. You don't have to give me credit for it, but you can if you want. I don't care. If you want to get mad at somebody, get mad at yourself. Don't get mad at me for telling you the right thing. Get mad at yourself. She was angry, but she was angry at the wrong person. She ought to be angry with herself. She was the one doing wrong. She was angry because she was rejected. And she was embarrassed by the rejection. Embarrassment causes people to get real angry. But the question is, who embarrassed whom? Did you embarrass yourself and you want to get angry at somebody else? See, we need to be careful about anger. It can be very, very deceptive. She was angry because she did not get her way. Did I mention she was used to getting her way? I'm kind of thinking she was pretty used to it. Now, it's one thing when a 2-year-old throws a temper tantrum. That's basically what we have here with this woman. She's throwing a temper tantrum. Correct? She didn't get her way. She wants to pout about it. She wants to pitch a fit about it. That's a temper tantrum, right? In a 2-year-old, we spank them for that. Right? This woman's not 2. Did I mention this morning that maturity is not relegated to age?
That's right.
I've seen some very immature 50-year-old men. You don't automatically get mature just because you turn 18.
Yep.
See, she was angry because she didn't get her way. See, Potiphar was angry. Was Potiphar's anger just against Joseph? No, not at all. Joseph hadn't done anything wrong, but he was still the object of his anger because he was deceived. Did Joseph react to that? No. You say, well, he was a slave. Well, that's true. He really didn't have any rights at all. But we see in his attitude just trusting God. Even when things aren't right, he's trusting God. See, Potiphar was angry with Joseph unjustly. Potiphar believed a lie instead of believing the truth. Potiphar made a bad choice based on bad information. Potiphar's anger was not just. If anybody had a just reason to be angry, who would it be in this story? Joseph. And he's the only one not getting angry. Why is that? Because he trusted God.
Amen.
More than Potiphar, more than Potiphar's wife, more than his job, more than his performance, more than his acceptance by others. All those things were trivial compared to trusting his God. Young people, listen to me. If you allow yourself to be a people pleaser, people will dictate your life. But if you seek to please God, what people say and what people do matters far less.
Yes.
You need to be careful who you're trying to please.
Amen.
You need to please God. That's what Joseph was all about, pleasing God. Joseph refused. Now, this is not in your notes, but it's a very important point. Joseph refused to become angry even though he had a justified reason. He did have a justified reason, right? People are lying about him. People are getting mad at him. And he hadn't done anything wrong. God, why are you letting this happen? I'm doing the right thing and I'm suffering for it. He didn't let that happen. He didn't get angry about it. He was falsely accused. He was falsely imprisoned. He was unjustly handled. His freedom was stolen from him more than it was before. I mean, his freedom was stolen the day his brother sold him into slavery, but now his freedom's stolen from him more. Does he get angry about it? No, he doesn't. Why not? Because he's trusting God, not his circumstances. No matter what happened, he's still faithful to the Lord. He still had what mattered most. And this, when things are rough, it really shows what really matters to you.
Yeah,
see, if his job mattered the most to him, he'd be getting angry right now because he lost his job. If his acceptance by Potiphar mattered most to him, he would be angry right now because Potiphar was angry with him unjustly. If his you know, pride mattered most to him and looking good and you know, being important and prestigious and all that, if that mattered to him, he would be angry right here. None of that mattered to him. What mattered to him most, he still had. That's why he wasn't angry. What mattered to him most was his God.
Amen.
And his God was still with him. So he didn't have to be angry. Didn't need to be angry. He still had what mattered most. My question is, what matters most to us? When the pressure's on, when things are rough, how we respond to that determines what matters most to us.
Right.
See, even when others cause us to suffer innocently, we need to be faithful. And that's what we have with Joseph. He is suffering innocently, but he's still being faithful to the Lord. You know, in Peter, these references are not in your notes either, but I encourage you to write them down and read them. In 1 Peter chapter 3, you can turn over there. They're just one right after the other in 1 Peter 3 and 4. There's two passages that deal with this matter of suffering innocently. And in verse 3, in chapter 3 and verse 11, it says, talking about the person who wants to enjoy life, live a good life and love life. It says, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ear is open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man of the that asketh a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear, having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit. When you're suffering innocently, you're in good company. Amen?
Amen.
And who are you to think you're better than Jesus? This is not fair. I'm suffering unjustly. Didn't Jesus do that? Didn't Jesus do that for me and for you?
Amen.
Man, when you suffer innocently, you're in good company. Joseph was in good company. Did I mention this morning he's a foreshadowing of Messiah?
Amen.
This is one of the ways he's a foreshadowing of Messiah. Suffering innocently. The just for the unjust. That's what we have in Joseph. See, Joseph had done nothing wrong, yet he was suffering innocently. Joseph even had done everything right. Everything he did was right. And now he's suffering still. Joseph was completely innocent, but it didn't change his circumstance. He was still suffering. You can do everything right, and things still go wrong. But when that happens, you know you're where God wants you to be. You can have peace even when things go wrong because you know you've done right. See, Joseph suffered persecution wrongfully, but willingly. See, people that are persecuted of their faith in foreign countries, they don't ask for us to pray that the persecution would go away. They ask for us to pray they will stay faithful in the persecution.
Good.
In fact, in the other scripture in Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 19, it says we ought to glory when we suffer for the cause of Christ. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. The martyrs, they counted it a glorious thing to give their life for their faith. Why? Because their Savior gave their life for their faith. They're in good company. Joseph was in good company. And the last thing I want you to think about is this. Even though all this happened, Joseph remained faithful. Faithful no matter what. Things are going to happen to you this week. I'm not trying to be a gloom and doom prophet. I'm just a realist. You live around a bunch of sinners, right? Things are going to happen. You're a sinner, right? Things are going to happen. Correct? Things are going to happen this week that can make you angry. How are you going to handle that? Somebody may lie about you this week. How are you going to handle that? You may suffer innocently this week. How are you going to handle that? I want to encourage all of us to handle it like Joseph did. A strong faith in a great big God will help you to stay faithful even when everything's going wrong. Joseph did it. We can too. He was faithful to the Lord because the Lord was faithful to him. I've given you several references here. Every one of them talk about God being faithful. Aren't you glad God is faithful? We started off this morning in Lamentation 3. Great is thy faithfulness. Aren't you glad God's faithful? He's faithful to us. That ought to motivate us to be faithful to him. Amen? Faithful no matter what. Aren't you glad God doesn't give up on you? Amen? He's faithful no matter what. Don't give up on God. Amen? Be faithful no matter what. Here's another thing about Joseph that helped him be faithful no matter what. He loved the Lord because the Lord first loved him. 1 John tells us that in chapter 4 and verse 19. We love him because, what? He first loved us. Does Jesus ever stop loving us? No. So we should never stop loving him.
Amen.
Faithful no matter what. Why? Because no matter what happens, God's still faithful. No matter what happens, Jesus still loves me. And that's enough right there. God is my Heavenly Father and Jesus is my Savior. Nobody can take that away from me. Amen? People can say what they want. People can do what they want. Things can happen, but nothing can take that away from me. That's what helped Joseph, and that can help us too. He was blessed of the Lord, and he was faithful to give glory to God. You know, when he did get called up by Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, "Hey, I hear you can tell dreams." Who does Joseph give the glory to about dreams? God is the giver of the dreams and the telling thereof. Let's be faithful no matter what. Joseph did it. He's just normal like us, right? He's just a normal guy with a lot of really abnormal circumstances. Amen. If he can do it, we can too. We got the same God, right? Amen. We even got more of the book than he had. He's living the very first book, right? We've got the Holy Spirit living within us, right? I mean, we've got more resources to help us be faithful no matter what than Joseph had. Correct? Yeah. So why? What's our excuse? There's no good excuse, right? Let's just be faithful no matter what. Let's pray.